Is it possible for a Christian to become perfect, to arrive at the point where they don't sin at all? Not just for half an hour, but for weeks and months and years at a time. Well, the Bible has some very challenging things to say about perfection, so stay tuned. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. All this week, as Lonnie explores this controversial topic of Christian perfection, we want to still keep our focus on God's abundant grace. That's why we're returning to one of the Voice of Prophecy's most popular book offers, David's and Lonnie's book, Popcorn and the Pearly Gates. At the close of today's program, I'll tell you how you can receive a copy, so have a pen or pencil ready. Now let's join Lonnie for part one in this week's series, A Bride Makes Herself Ready. His title today, Countdown to the Wedding March.
T-minus 90 minutes. Everything was ready for the countdown. The decorations in the church were all in place. Every ribbon, every flower, every candle, even the long white ribboned runner down the center aisle. The musicians had their music ready. The groomsmen were already dressed in their tuxedos. Even the preacher had already arrived at the church and was ready to pose for pictures with the happy couple. But one thing still wasn't ready. The bride. For 2 days, she'd been working on her hair, and one little spot just wouldn't go into place. The hairdresser kept working on her and applying can after can of hairspray, but the total picture was one of just slightly less than perfection. It wasn't quite there. Well, she finally got to the point where the hair was all right, and then they went to the face and the makeup. Well, that wasn't exactly right either. The eyeliner didn't quite work. Somehow it clashed with the hair color. But when the bride and the maid of honor tried a darker shade, it made her look kind of cheap, and they didn't want that. By now, it was T-minus 25 minutes. And when the bride stood up, she saw that her dress had a couple of wrinkles in it. There wasn't time to take it off and work on it, so she and a couple of girls began to try to steam out the wrinkles while she still had it on. Then they all noticed that a couple of the buttons were a little off-center. Why hadn't they seen that before? And now the veil didn't hang quite right. It looked droopy. T-minus 10. The photographer poked his head in the door. Aren't we taking any pictures at all before the ceremony, he wanted to know. The bride could feel beads of perspiration pop out on her forehead, and of course that began to ruin her makeup. She looked in the mirror and saw that the one hairsprayed curl had popped loose again and was now sticking straight up in the back like Alfalfa and the Little Rascals. She twisted around to try to reach for the hairspray can and felt a ripping sound. T-minus 2 minutes, T-minus 1 minute, and here comes the bride. Well, friends, with all due apologies for the agonizing memories I'm sure our introduction brings back, we want to open our Bibles this week and talk about the topic of Christian perfection. Probably those last 90 minutes before a wedding reveal one of the most meaningful quests for perfection that any of us can recall. Now, God's Word calls the Christian church the bride of Christ. You and I, as believers, are part of that metaphor. God also commands us to be perfect. You can read that in Matthew 5:48, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Here it is in the New International Version. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's interesting and maybe comforting to notice that it doesn't say, be as perfect as your heavenly Father is. And we'll discuss that distinction this week. But it does say, be perfect, as he is perfect. Now, if you read back through this chapter to discover the context, which is always a good idea, you find that Christ has been talking about loving your enemies, loving those who persecute you, and then this challenge to be perfect. It's interesting that in the text notes for this NIV version, I find this statement under those two agenda-altering words, be perfect. Now, listen to the commentator's remarks. Christ sets up the high ideal of perfect love. Not that we can attain it in this life. That, however, is God's standard for us. Now, friend, what do you think of that? It's an interesting philosophy that while perfection is the goal, we're never going to reach that goal. and we'll talk about that this week as well. But back to our bride, struggling with the hairspray and the ironing board in the dressing room of the church. She wants to be perfect, doesn't she? She has a desire to become perfect in the next 90 minutes. When she walks down the aisle to meet her beloved, it's her heart's desire that she can be a picture of radiant perfection. She wants the groom to look at her and see nothing but perfection, not a spot or a wrinkle. And how come? You know, I find that as I keep the motif of a bride and a groom and a wedding day in my thinking while studying this Bible subject, it provides me with a healthy perspective. What is the purpose of character perfection? Why would we strive for it? Why should we strive for it? What does it prove or accomplish? Is the bridegroom looking for it? And what would he say or do if we don't measure up? What does it mean in the Bible when it says, be perfect? How can we define this very open-ended, horizon-expanding word? It's very clear that whatever the Bible means, perfect is a word describing something real, something that can be accomplished. Now, in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1, this man named Job was perfect, the Bible tells us. That man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, the NIV softens these words of praise. It calls Job blameless and upright, a man who feared God and shunned evil. Or whatever the Bible is thinking of when it says perfect, friend, Job was doing it. In the book of Leviticus, those who brought lambs to be offered as sacrifices were to bring perfect lambs, you remember? So there was such a thing as perfection in that area. One of the Old Testament kings named Asa is described as having a heart that was perfect with the Lord in all his days. In the NIV, a heart fully committed to the Lord. This in describing a man who loved God and tore down all the idols in Judah, but didn't even fully succeed in that. And yet he had what God called a perfect heart. We printed out the dictionary's many definitions of the word perfect, so as to have a workable secular platform on which to stand. Just listen to a few of these. One, perfect. Lacking nothing essential to the whole, complete of its nature or kind. Two, being without defect or blemish, a perfect specimen. Can you see how that sacrificial lamb would qualify? Three, thoroughly skilled or talented in a certain field or area, proficient. Four, completely suited for a particular purpose or situation. She was the perfect actress for the part. Five, completely corresponding to a description, standard, or type, a perfect circle, a perfect gentleman. Six, complete, thorough, utter, a perfect fool. That's an interesting illustration, I thought, and hopefully a definition you and I don't fit, perfect fool. Seven, pure, undiluted, unmixed, perfect red. Eight, excellent and delightful in all respects, a perfect day. And goes on from there, friends. So we ask again, can a bride be perfect? Can a Christian be perfect? I think back to a bride who came slowly and majestically to the altar in the year 1967. Her name was Jeannie Jones. And that day she became Jeannie Jones Melashenko. Right now I have to tell you, I wish that at least today I could be a Christian television pastor instead of radio. I could put a picture of my bride, Jeannie Melashenko, on the TV monitor and you could see for yourself what a perfect bride looks like. Now, did Jeannie Jones bring perfection to that wedding altar on August 27, 1967? Was she absolutely without defect or blemish? Well, no, probably not. Underneath that beautiful, nearly perfect hairdo and wedding dress were probably a couple of bumps and cavities and scars and moles and tissue cells that eventually will grow old and give way. We all have them. We all bring a bit of frailty to the wedding feast. Did she, quote, completely correspond to the standard, the benchmark, end quote? Did she set the bridal standard for all time with absolutely no room for improvement? Again, probably not. And I trust she'll still let me into the house this evening and let me have supper with her. But friend, let me pose this one. Was she excellent and delightful in all respects? Did she bring a pure and undiluted loyalty into our marriage? Was she completely suited to the purpose of being my loyal Christian partner in life? Did she express a complete and utter and thorough devotion to our exclusive relationship, our love for each other? Yes, yes, she did. My wife Jeannie was and is a perfect wife. In the respects that count, She has been my perfect bride for almost 30 years. As we close our first moments of study together this week, let me make two brief points. Friend, I believe God looks for perfection in his bride with the eyes of a groom. He's not looking for a list. He's looking for a loyalty. He's not seeking a dandruff-free hairdo. He's seeking a completely dedicated heart. Now, point number two. We're going to study perfection, not perfectionism. Perfectionism is the belief that our perfection, no matter how it's defined, is in any way a part of what qualifies us for God's kingdom. Perfectionism makes our performance, our achieving, our successes in the bridal dressing room the criterion of salvation. Every bride and every Christian who is part of being the bride of Christ must reject the deadly heresy of perfectionism. Can we be the kind of perfect the groom is looking for? Yes, we can. Stay tuned.
Thank you, Lonnie. Friend, we'd like to mail you a book on this very topic of perfection. It's entitled Popcorn and the Pearly Gates by David and Lonnie. Available for a gift of just $10 or more. Here's our address, Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. That's Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055 and share your gift of $10 with a credit card. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. By the way, if you happen to have access to the Internet, why not visit our website? It's located at www.vop.com. Well, tomorrow we'll be considering the idea of focus. Do we aim our attentions and our efforts toward the goal of perfection? Do we think about it and focus on it? Our title's going to be Trying to Get to Sleep. And Lonnie will have a very sad story to share from his unair-conditioned hotel room in the Netherlands not too long ago. I hope you'll join us. Our studio engineer today is Armando Cordero, with David Smith serving as scriptwriter and producer. Until tomorrow, this is Kenneth Richards with Lonnie Milashenko, reminding you once again that it's always true every day of your life. God loves you.
During a period of high unemployment, the Irish government began an ambitious road-building campaign to create new jobs. Thousands of enthusiastic workers signed on, happy to be able to feed their families while helping build their nation's roads. However, their motivation and excitement soon declined when they discovered that the roads led to nowhere. The road-building campaign had been invented simply to create jobs. The workers had lost their sense of mission, of destiny. The pay was the same, but the meaning was gone. In order for life to have meaning, it must have a goal. Money does not provide meaning. Mission does. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, "The meaning of earthly existence lies not, as we have grown used to thinking, in prospering, but in the development of the soul." George Washington might have chosen to continue living in ease and comfort as a Virginia planter, but then he never would have fathered a nation. That was his mission. What's yours? I hope you're not working on a road that leads nowhere. God created us with a purpose in mind. We are links in an eternal chain. Everyone has a mission in life, and fulfilling it brings joy.